Jimmy Dean, though, was a name we know. Tell us how you came to be with him.
I first met Jimmy in 1949. He was in the Air Force stationed at Bowling Field in Washington, D.C. We both had bands playing. In fact, he was playing, shouldn't have been, because he was still in the service. But he had a group, and I had a group. We sort of met just by chance. One thing led to another. When he started growing in his career, I was still just playing, not thinking about anything that may happen next week, a year from now. But from the very first that I met and knew Jimmy, he was not going to be playing in clubs long. He had a local radio show. He was getting ready to start a television show. And he started on me and he says, "Why don't you come to work for me?" I said, "Well, you're not doing any more than I'm doing. I've got a group. It's very good. You have a group." He said, "I have a radio show." I said, "Okay." So this went on, and he called me one day at a soft spot in my life. He said, "Why don't you go to work for me? We're getting ready to start in 2 weeks on a local television show." I said, "Well, how much would you pay me if I was to decide to join forces?" He said, "About $120. I said, "I'm making more than that with my group." He said, "Well, let me call you back." So he made his call and called me back and said, "How about $150? I said, "You have a guitar player." And so we started together. That must have been about 1954. He was the first one that knew where he was going. Everyone else that I had been around, we played local television, local radio, all the nightclubs in town, and was just doing them over and over. But Jimmy, the more he did, the more he wanted to do.
He was a business mind, too, in addition to being a musician.
We would all hang out and have a couple of drinks after we did a show in a nightclub, and Jimmy may stay for a drink, maybe not, because he would go home, so he'd get up early in the morning and make phone contacts to people he had met the previous day. While we're out nursing a headache, he's taking care of business.
So it's not surprising then when he gets so involved with Jimmy Dean Sausages and the business?
No, not a bit. In fact, the first success was his recording of Big Bad John. It sold millions of records. Herbie Jones sent him a note that said, "We knew that if you ever had a million-seller record, you would have to talk it." Big Bad John, as we all know, is more of a recitation.
But I suppose if you look back on Jimmy Dean, two things you'd say, Big Bad John and Jimmy Dean Sausages.
Right. That was it.
Andy Griffith came into your life. There was a play, No Time for Sergeants.
Well, that's when I was with Jimmy Dean. We were playing at the National Guard Armory in Washington, D.C. I was with Jimmy. We were backing up different acts on the show. It was like an all-day thing where people would come out and all of the different manufacturers were displaying their latest appliances. Andy was on the show. He said he had just read a part called No Time for Sergeants. He said, "If I was to get it, that'd make me an instant big star." He said, "But everybody else, every actor in the world is after this part. So the chances that I get it are very slim." We parted ways. He went to New York and read for the part, called Jimmy, and screamed into the phone, "I got it." That was my introduction to Andy Griffith.